I washed my hair.
Yeah, you washed your hair.
Wait, you could tell. Could you tell I washed my hair?
Your hair, as you pointed out before, looks a bit 80s when you wash it. It gets a bit fluffy. Same with my hair. It gets very fluffy.
Yeah, I go very, what's one of those bands? Air Supply?
Oh, I love Air Supply. No, it's more Duran Duran.
Yeah,
you're more Duran Duran.
Say, Glenn.
You're more 80s. Air Supply was 70s, a little bit 80s. I saw Air Supply, you know.
But I've got thick hair. What would you say? Your hair's pretty thick too.
No, I've got thick hair, yeah.
But I wash it and then it just goes foof and I look like, I try hard for the, I've got to give it a couple. How often do you wash your hair?
Once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And I wash it very often.
The more you wash it, the more you got to wash it.
I know, I just think it's.
So that's good that you only wash it once a week.
You know, my kids said to me the other day, oh, Dad, Mum and us have had a talk. We think you should wash your hair every day.
Mum and I have had a talk.
I said, I'm not washing my hair every day. Why would I wash? Because they wash their hair a lot, these kids. Why am I washing it every day?
But that's an intervention. Dad, sit down.
Yeah. They've had a talk about my hair because I've got a bit of dandruff. I'm not washing it. I don't care.
We're doing this because we love you. But I'm going to hand you a bottle with something in it and I want you going in the shower and rubbing your hair.
Some anti-dandruff. Tears or whatever it's called.
I mean, I've got a bit of dandruff.
Oh, look, whatever. As long as it's not too bad.
Yeah, but, you know, anyway, you shouldn't wash your hair. That's my message for the day.
Also, when I wash it, I look grayer. It gets, like, grayer, basically.
But yours lightens up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people say to me when I'm out at night, have you got blonde tips in your hair? Like, no, it's grey.
Oh, God, the bottle fell on my hair and I got a few tips put in there. Because I had tips put on my hair for Boytown.
Oh, yeah, right.
I had my eyebrows plucked and I had tips put in.
What about dyeing your hair? Have you thought about dyeing your hair?
I've had my
Summers style.
I get my hair dyed for Russell Coit because my hair's a lot more grayer now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes, and I get my beard dyed.
Just leave it in.
Just whatever. It's sort of like, you may as well do it again. What? I'm not doing Russell Coit this week. Oh, okay. Well,
chestnut brown.
If you've got the bottle there, you may as well put it in.
How does that work? Because you go down the street and you see old Greek guys with dyed hair. And you're like, who does it for them?
But when you've got black hair and it's going grey, it's really tough. Once you go black, you can't go.
Can't go back.
Back.
to
grey. It's either black or grey, whereas you can't be lighter. And you can really tell on television because this looks like a big blog of big lump of hair.
Yeah, when you see those sort of old Hollywood guys like Hasselhoff or whoever and they got that big.
Like, it's not a good look.
You're dying your hair, mate.
Sometimes you do feel like going up to those guys and go, it's not working. I mean, I understand if someone wears a wig. I don't think they should wear a wig, but it must be hard to lose your hair. I won't lose my hair. You won't lose yours. But it must be hard to lose your hair. And you see them wearing a wig and you know what? And friends of mine, they've just gone, well, as Jamon says, you'll go now and you'll go on my terms and he shave it off.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Just become in charge. Yeah. Rather.
But some people don't look good bald. Adam Zwar, who's going bald, he says, you can't be bald and fat. He goes, you see anyone jogging, they're normally bald or balding because you can't be bald and fat. It's a bad look.
Bald and fat.
But you can be fat with hair. You know what I mean? You can be a fat guy with hair.
I think that's generalising. I think you can be bald and fat.
Oh, really? Who looks good bald and fat?
Who are the famous baldies? Telly Savalas?
Well, he also had another theory. There's only room in Australia for one bald comedian on TV at a time.
Who's
Gleeson. That's Zwar's theory. Tom Gleeson. And also this.
What about Akmal? He's bald.
Oh, yeah, true.
And what about Jamowen? He's bald.
Yeah, okay, all right. There you go. That theory. And Tom Gleisner.
Yeah, Tom Gleisner. Yeah. Rob, I think Rob Sitch, he does a number one.
I don't see him on TV that much though.
He does it on
he's on the Utopia show.
Utopia, mate. He would he's bald in that. Well, anyway.
Enough about baldness.
Yeah.
We're lucky that we're not bald because in our age group there's a lot of bald guys.
There's a lot of baldness and it must be horrible finding hairs on your pillow.
Yeah.
You can hang on and you can go into the, what are those clinics called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the clinic, where they basically glue hair to your head.
I think the other time we were talking about traffic and now we're talking about hair.
Baldness.
We should just play the music because this
here it comes!
It's going to get really tragic.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome again to the podcast, Somehow Related.
Somehow Related. Easy listening podcast.
Oh, easy listening.
Is there a category called Easy Listening Podcast?
There should be.
You know, I saw that Tony Martin for Sizzletown won Best Comedy and Best Production. And
fantastic.
Congratulations to
Tony.
Well done.
Why weren't we nominated in those awards? You know why? Because you've got to pay to be nominated.
Oh, what? That's, well, I met his sponsor. I'm up in Byron. I met his sponsor, Tony's sponsor.
Tony's sponsor.
From the wine company. Yeah, what's what we need? We need someone who sponsors the show.
And they can nominate us and pay for us.
Yes,
be nominated.
And I can get some free red wine.
No, lovely.
Yeah. Anyway, he was a lovely guy. He met his wife. Anyway, and I hinted, but the gave him a phone number and
Well, it is a very funny podcast, so it deserves.
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, it's welcome. You know what it reminds me of? Remember when I was a kid, Monty Python album would come out, and you go on a journey. And it's not.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
So Cheech and Chong was just like, "Hey, man, what's the world, going on, man?"
Here we go. The world is starved for make believe.
That's
true. This is my point. There's a lot of people sitting talking like this, and good luck to them, and good on us for giving it a crack. But we had Con the Fritter on this.
That was
make believe. That's what we should have.
Make believe.
I should go out and get on the phone.
You should.
Hello. Hello. I'd like to speak to
you. I used to do those calls when I did radio. Yeah. I used to do Braxy. Oh, g'day, Braxy here. How are you today, everyone?
Oh, that's good.
Steve Brax has just turned up. I used to do John So. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, I used to do Mr. Ting Tong.
Yeah.
We won't do those.
We won't. I used to do John Howard. Oh, how did he speak? Oh, Jeff Kennett was like that. Jeff Kennett's like a Muppet, you know. That would be highly inappropriate.
What about Goff?
Well,
They say... God save the queen because
John Howard was like that.
Oh, that's good.
Because you're just imitating someone else imitating it, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. It's like Heath Franklin, who does Chopper, said he actually does Eric Banner's Chopper.
Yeah, because he cracked that code.
Oh, man.
And Tony Martin is often the first one to crack a code. He was.
He did a very good Arnie.
He was one of the first to do Arnie.
Yeah, very good Arnie.
Swizzletown?
You know what? You didn't do a bad Trump. You didn't do a bad Trump on...
I know. What happened? We wrote that sketch, and then they said, well, you do it. And I went, well...
No, give us a bit of Trump. I tried to do Trump. We're going to... Yeah, no. See, I can't do it. He's sort of like that kind of, you know...
No, I can't do it either.
No, come on. You're fired. We're going to build a wall.
There's one phrase that I used to do. I can't remember what it was. What about Bush? Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
See, that's pretty good. Hmm. See, if you get one phrase right.
Yeah, that's all you've got.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You just copy the copiers. Have we had the music yet?
Yes, we have had the music. Let's get our topics.
Okay, let's get our topics.
The Olympics and art.
The Olympics. Do you remember what jokes you used about the Olympics about when the guy said, we're going to Sydney? Remember we're going to Sydney? We're going to Sydney. Yeah, yeah. I used to say, imagine if you were an Australian Olympian and you've been training and you're like a teenager and then you're going to make the Sydney Olympics. But you're only going to Sydney. You know what I mean? Like you're going, we're going to Sydney. Oh, that's just down the street. Yeah, like you're looking forward to Brazil.
Yeah, I know.
You know, somewhere.
Japan.
Yeah, and then mum's dropping you off in the station wagon with your javelin. Having the time, good. Rodney. Thanks, Mum.
I don't think I can get a javelin on the train. Yes, you can.
You're not staying over in the village. You're coming home. Oh, thanks, Mum. Yeah, I used to do that routine.
Because I used to do a routine about weightlifting in the Olympics. They should because you don't relate to the weights. They should say what you're lifting.
Yeah, it's true.
I was going for the billiard table now. I do a billiard table with a fat guy sitting on it.
You should be doing it. Oh, yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, that's two refrigerators. Beautiful work there. Right above the head. There are the red lights.
The Olympics are just – it's just a weird – It's a weird thing.
Did you go to 2000? Did you go to the 2000?
No, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You went on a tour of the village, didn't you?
Yeah. I remember.
You're doing the panel.
Did the panel up there, yeah. I saw Kathy Freeman running. And I don't know.
You know what was funny?
Is I didn't know what to say when she was running.
Go.
What do you say?
Was this in the one she won?
Yeah. Oh, we were right on the finish line. Oh, go. Wow. Run fast. Go.
That was amazing when she did that.
Because I think she probably heard me.
I've seen her around here.
She's a nice person.
So I went into Mario's, which is a cafe in Brunswick Street. Very good Italian food.
Right.
It's been there for years, right?
Right.
I used to go in there with my family a lot because they'd always have a chef on, you know what I mean? So you go at 5 o'clock and get dinner, which is good for little kids.
Yeah, nice.
So anyway, I walk in there and we're the only people in there except Kathy Freeman's having dinner with another Aboriginal Australian.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
And Kieran goes, my partner goes, do you know Kathy Freeman? I said, oh, look, I've interviewed a few times. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. Just leave her alone because she would get hassled. Yeah. And this was maybe a year after the gold medal. Right?
Oh, well, she's been red hot.
Maybe 2-3 years after. Because I knew she sort of lived in Melbourne. Right? So, you know, I didn't say anything.
Is she wearing the medal?
She was. And no tracksuit. Even though she went up to get a water and I raced her and I beat her.
Yeah, remember, she was the one. She had that famous one piece with the hat. With the hat.
Yes. Hood. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and then Nick Giannopoulos comes in.
Oh,
right?
No,
Nicky G, the Wog Boy, mate. Now we all know him. He comes in and he goes, "Dave, how you going? Oh my God, Kathy Freeman." And so he goes straight over to Kathy, pulls up a seat at a table. Oh,
poor old Kathy. And he goes, having a quiet meal.
And he's having a conversation. I can hear conversations like, "Yeah, us Wogs and Aborigines, we're similar. Yeah, we've got similar issues." And then he looks at me and goes, "You know, Dave's a screenwriter. He's written me. Dave, come and join the conversation." I'm like, No, I'm fine here. I'm fine here. God, I was
she would have been very diplomatic about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, anyway, Kathy Freeman.
I tell you what Olympics. Was interesting about the Olympics was that when I was there in 2000, of course, to see Kathy Freeman win the gold medal, no advertising. When you're sitting in the arena.
Hey, that's interesting. That's so unusual.
It's really unusual.
It's one of the IOC, because you know the people that organise the Olympics, they're dodgers, all get out.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. If you look into the IOC, I read an article about it once. They're based in Switzerland. They're the dodgiest. Because you know how one of my friends was involved in the pitch to get the Sydney Olympics? He went to Barcelona.
Because I went to
with
Barcelona.
Steve Weiser.
Me.
Now, and I knew another guy that went as well. And they had to give all these gift packs.
I was there.
Yeah, were you there?
That's me. I told you the story.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but it's someone, someone else I know.
Okay, and what happened?
James, his name is. And he was there as well. And his job was to give gift packs to all the to try and get them to vote for Australia.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of dodgy stuff happening. But you went there too.
Faisard, and we took him. What was his name? The guy who said Sydney.
Oh, yeah. Sam. Who was the guy?
He was.
Me.
He was Spanish. Wasn't
Yeah.
Because we met him in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And we took a cake to him, and it was kind of meant.
You took a cake to him.
It was for a documentary that Faisard was doing. And we looked around Barcelona before the Olympics came. And I was like a creative producer on it.
How'd you find Barcelona?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I've been there.
A sister city to Melbourne?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I got robbed in Barcelona.
I
fell asleep in a park. And the guy goes, "You do not fall asleep in a park in Barcelona."
Because we had our camera stuff stolen out of the car.
It's the crime capital of Europe.
Yeah.
It was the
Ramblers. They had that terrible terrorist attack in the Ramblers in Barcelona, didn't they?
Yeah. It's terrible. Anyway, it's a good. It's being overrun now, though. Apparently, Barcelona
overrun
Airbnb. I read an article about it. Oh yeah,
Juan Antonio Samaranch.
Wow. Well, there you go. Yeah, I remember that. And John Fay, the New South Wales Premier, jumps up and
Oh yeah, they all jumped out of their seats and bloody bloody bloody. So what year would that have been? Mid-90s, 94?
Yeah, don't they announce it at the one before the one that's already going on or something like that? Yeah. They announced it a few Olympics beforehand.
Yeah, it would have been in the mid-90s.
But there is a lot of dodgy stuff with the IOC if you read about them. Oh, my God.
Does it still go on, though?
Well, I reckon, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get sued by the IOC, but...
Yeah, but you'll never run for Australia after saying that. No. You will never be in pole vaulting. You'll never be, you know...
You know, my favourite thing is the demonstration sports in the Olympics. When they try out a sport. They do it at the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, I see. So they don't get a medal for it this time.
No, you get medals for it, but they just try them out. They try out different sports every year. And so Commonwealth Games, they tried out 10-pin bowling in Malaysia. 10-pin bowling. They did BMX, and sometimes some of them stick. So BMX was tried out, and now it's part of the Olympics, which is exciting.
So every year they have new ones? Because I know surfing's coming into it, I think.
Yeah. And then there's
and
always
tennis came in late.
Yeah, and there's a tug of war. Was the Olympics
tug of war.
In 1900 to 1920.
You would have done a bit of tug of war on the old Scouts. We used to tug of war on Scouts. British Bulldog, that'd be a good one for the Olympics.
Gaming.
Hoppo Bumpo.
Hoppo Bumpo. Three-legged race.
Hoppo Bumpers, ready.
Sack race.
Wood chopping.
Playing Fortnite. Yeah, wood chopping. Oh, if you look up demonstration sports, it's quite hilarious, some of the ones they have a crack at. And then there's also Asian sports, which we don't know. You've never heard of them, but they push too when the Olympics are in Asia, which is fair enough.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just pick something you're good at or just make it into a sport.
Mm.
I remember I was watching a show once and that was the American World Championship butt dragging, where they got dragged behind a car and then they got slung on their butts, like a bit of leather or something. Anyway.
Well, I love it in the Olympics when, because a sport like basketball is now full of multi-millionaires who lived these lives of luxury.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the last Olympics, they didn't want to stay in the... And so they parked a cruise liner off the shore of Brazil and stayed in there. Because, of course, I remember doing vox pops at the Olympics, and you talk to like the hockey players, and they've got normal jobs.
Mm.
They're like teachers or tradies and stuff.
Yeah.
But of course, you've got people like basketballers and tennis players.
Yeah.
Who are these multi-million stars.
So when they get the gold medal, you go, "Do you really need that gold medal?" But they all yearn for it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
You've got enough, surely.
Interesting.
You know? But what's interesting is that you train all your life, you work incredibly hard, and you win a gold medal for your country. But then you go, "What happens now?"
No, you go on the tour circuit giving talks.
That's if you're good. But if a lot of people have trained all their life and come in third or fourth.
I know.
And then they go, what do I do now? I've given away half my life, well, a big period of my life, to winning a medal. And then, you know, like, you know, even the big ones. What's Ian Thorpe doing now? I guess he's...
Remember he said he was going to go back to TAFE? He said at one point, I'm going to go back to TAFE and do some education. Yeah.
It's hard.
I know, it is hard. It is really hard for some of them. But, you know, I mean, some of them just go off into a different area, or some of them stay in the sport industry and become coaches and mentors and stuff like that. But I do see a lot of them.
Yeah, that's true.
As someone who does a lot of stand-up gigs, I see, and like functions for different, I see quite a few of them on the speaking circuit. And some of them are great.
You get big money for that. I remember standing on the block at the start of the 1500.
Let's run through what happened on the day.
Yeah, and the gun went off and I dived in. And then I swam and swam and swam and then I kept on swimming.
But some of them are not, like Cathy Freeman, for example. She doesn't want to do that kind of thing. She's not a natural talker like some of these people. But some of the ones that love it, yeah, they do really well in it.
If I could sprinkle magic dust and make you into an athlete, what sport would you, what event would you like to be in?
Shooting. I don't think you have to do much to do shooting. How is this? You know when you go to the airport and you do that explosive test?
Yeah.
One of my mates was standing behind Michael Diamond, the gold medalist shooter.
Of course.
And the guy goes, can I check your bag with the wand thing? And he turned around and said to someone, watch this. And the wand just went bzz, 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 bzz.
So he had to then go pull out his gold medal.
Yeah, and say, I'm a shooter. No, yeah, what about you? What would you do?
What would I do?
I see you doing hurdles.
Oh, no, hurdle would be hard on you. Ooh. Yeah, you know what? The hardest one is the last one. Because, made that one. I don't think I'm going to make the last one. Oh, damn. Oh, no. I always like the rapid riding, the rapids when they do but that looks hard as well. Running's
hard.
What,
in a boat? In a kayak?
Yeah, they do kayaky stuff. Rowing's hard. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I see on a horse.
Really?
What about yachting? We're on a boat.
Because I think we do quite well in that area.
Yeah. Also, if they're bringing in surfing, why not surfing?
Yeah, okay. I'll go for surfing. Yeah,
I'll be there with my gun, shooting off stuff.
Because you do have, sometimes you do question, I mean, no disrespect. It is hand-eye coordination, isn't it? But it should be like chucking a rock.
Yeah, you're right. More kicking a can down the street.
But aren't a lot of them based on survival? Like javelin would be a spear.
Yeah. Well, running must have been a rock.
Yeah, the relay must be passing a message.
Yeah, good point. Well, you know, the original Olympics were done in the nude. All the sports were performed in the nude. It's true. In Greece, yeah, they were.
So,
as someone said, made for some interesting holds in wrestling. Wrestling, that sounded very old-fashioned. That was one of the original Greek.
Maybe they should do a traditional.
Have a bit of
a nude
gear off.
Oh, wrestling. Yeah.
Wrestling. It was all men too. It was men only, I think, originally.
What are they called? Greco?
Greco wrestling.
Yeah. You know what they should for the next Olympics? They should do it in the nude as a tribute.
To the
Greeks doing it in the nude. Opening ceremonies. Now, what's the first thing that springs to mind?
Oh, that's a very good question. What's the first thing that springs to mind about the Australia? Jumping kangaroos? Kangaroos? Yeah, the lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Paul Hogan was in it?
Yeah.
Paul Hogan was in it?
The big thong? The
London one was really good, wasn't it? Which I never saw. They had like Dr. Who.
Eastern Bloc. I mean, when the Russians do it, they do all that colour and move. Who were the first to hold up cards in the audience? Whoever came up with that idea. You know, when the cards and they go, okay, I don't know how they do it. And then it would change. It would give you a different pitch. You're going, that's clever.
That is good.
Imagine if you did in Australia, there'd be smart asses putting all sorts.
That's the thing about those communist countries. If you stuff up, oh, it's not good.
Yeah, that's right.
You
will do the cards correctly.
So what is it? Art. What is art in general?
Well, it's not arts. I guess it's art.
So art like drawing and painting and that?
Drawing, painting,
pottery. Do you like art?
I did painting class. I did drawing class. I used to do. I've done the joke on here before. I used to do a joke about my dad was worked at the art gallery, and for my final exam, it,
you handed in some Monet.
I handed Monet's Water Lilies and got C minus for it.
I quite like Monet. I told you when I went to the Louvre on a tour, and they talked about Monet, how he was one of the first realist painters who painted real life stuff. Yeah, he's an impressionist.
The lilies, the turkeys.
He did a famous turkey painting, and people working in the fields and stuff. He did too.
I got to say, of all of them, Monet's
pretty good.
You know,
he had good colours too.
I don't think one of the most tiring things you can do is to wander around a gallery.
Oh, I'm with you.
You look at the you go into the next section. You go, please let there be a seat in here. I just want to sit down and take in this Monet, or pretend to take in this Monet, and really I'm just having a bit of a rest.
You know? I like Picasso. I reckon he's good. He's got some good stuff.
You've seen those ones where he gets the brush and he does like a bullfighter, and he does it in one
yeah,
like
incredible.
The brush doesn't leave the paper almost.
And he had that great quote, didn't he? It took me...
Do you want me to tell a story?
Yeah, it took me 30 years.
This is one I tell all the kids about, don't underestimate what you're worth, which is, I think it was at the butcher shop. Anyway, in my story, he's at the butcher shop, and woman's standing next to him at the butcher shop. Are you Pablo Picasso?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Could I just get you to do a little drawing on the butcher paper for me? He goes, okay, and he does it, and he goes, and does it in 30 seconds, and then, or 10 seconds. And he goes, there you go, that'll be $10,000. She goes, $10,000? It took you 10 seconds to do it. Yes, but it took me a lifetime to be able to do it.
I'm going to quote that to my next gig.
Yeah.
Well, $500 for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I love it when people ring you up and they go, how much for the gig? And it's like a footy club. You say, oh, you know, $500. And like, it's a lot of money. Maybe I should get into comedy. And I always go, yeah, well, I've been there for 30 years. I'll give you the number. Go do a few open mics. But yeah, how old are you now? 50. Well, you're not going to be as good as me until you're 80. So it's going to take a while, mate. Anyway,
comedy
if you
is that
comedy,
one, isn't everyone think? A lot of people think that they can do it quite easily. And to watch someone, I mean, I've stood next to you on stage, and effortless you are.
I'm standing next to Pablo.
Yeah.
Matisse. I like Matisse. I went to his house once.
A lot of female. Went to his house?
Yeah, he's got a house.
Well, he rang up and said, Dave, what are you doing?
Matisse.
Come round for a barbecue.
You can go to his house in France or Spain somewhere. It was good.
He did a lot of nude ladies too.
Matisse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
I love his, again, simple line drawing. I think I've got a Matisse at home. Well, a print of
real
Matisse.
Oh, my God.
No, of course not.
My wife reminds me that when she first met me, she asked me if I was interested in art history, and I lied and said yes.
It was a test, was it?
How many art galleries have I been to now? So that's the only reason I know anything about art is because of her, because she's interested in art, and so I go along and I take it in.
Are you well hung?
Oh, my God. Personal question.
Have you hung things at home?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Mm.
She does more of that, but I'm more the guy that has to hold the painting up.
Oh, like
she
where
steps
going,
back and has
goes,
a look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then she also got a...
I don't want to get it wrong because you're too far, an inch too far that or too low. Because I did it the other day, too low on the wall.
Yeah, you don't too go too low on the wall. Yeah. And also she got that thing for a while where she would try and find out where the... You get this sound thing where you try and find out where to hit the nail into.
Oh, where the strut is, not the strut.
I said, just bang it in, don't worry about it.
It'll rip a hole in the plaster, who cares?
Because
I put one up the other day and I reckon 2 days later I was downstairs and I heard just boom, crack.
It fell off.
Yeah. The big hole in the wall.
So what were you hanging? Don't tell me. A photo of a bodybuilder holding a baby? You got one of them?
Yeah, some dogs playing cards.
A dolphin? You got a dolphin up there? What was it? I'm intrigued.
It was I'm embarrassed to say it's quite fashionable. It was called Bally or something, Balle. It's like a, maybe it was a brand or something. I don't know, but it was very fashionable there for a while. And anyway, it's in the back room now because it's got a broken frame. You know, you go to those poster shops and they're not rigid.
Oh, we're talking about the French posters?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. We got one of them.
You've got Belly written on it?
No, I know what you mean though. We've got an old Tintin one with Tintin advertising an orange drink.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, cool. But I think my partner wants to replace it now with something else.
I did,
but she buys old art posters and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did the other day, and I put them all up, and I just went, they're all wrong. They're all like the Greek islands and stuff like that. You're going, it's just too for our place. They're too triad.
Yeah, right.
You know, what were the classics though? The prints that you would have. There was
the girl playing tennis.
Bill come play with a ball under in her underpants.
The cat hanging on with shit happens, or the monkey sitting on the toilet.
Oh, you got him, yeah.
That's sort of the posters you'd buy from the trick shop, weren't they? I'm just trying to think. I just remember the shared house ones in the 80s. There was the famous French movie, Betty Blue. There was a Betty Blue poster.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
There was the Astor Theatre poster, which listed all the movies that were on at a theatre. And there was a dolphin. Someone would move in and put up a dolphin poster. Like, oh, what's that all about?
If you where we filmed Upper Middle Bogan, out in hello to all the folks out in there in Taylor's Lake.
Oh, did they have posters up?
Whose poster did they have up? Which
not David Beckham?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I can't. Not detailed.
Scarface.
Guy. Scarface. Oh, Scarface.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
That's Pacino. Al Pacino. Yeah. That was kind of like that. That had a big recent.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Famous movie posters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs and movies like that were big for a while. Pulp Fiction, you see that up still. There's a great what's that sketch show in America with the two people set in Portlandia?
Oh yeah.
There's a great sketch where they're working in bad cafe art and they just sell cafe art to cafes and they've got the because you know when you walk into some cafes and you see the artwork, you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And they've got like taps with water coming out and stuff, you know, and they're like, I've got this one. This is unbelievable. Because it's a very good observation, isn't it, that they would have a place where the cafes buy that bad art from.
I tend to retell my story, so I apologise if I'm retelling this story, but I was doing a gig out in the country. I wasn't doing a gig, it was a restaurant out somewhere in the country, or interstate, and I went to the toilet and they had a signature wall
I've seen that before,
And there's a thing in Seinfeld that says he had to sign a thing that says nothing finer than being in your diner.
Oh yeah.
So I walk out of the toilet and I see written on the wall, nothing finer than being in your diner. I'm going, what a dickhead! Who would write that? And I look underneath it, and it was me. What signature on the wall? Couldn't even think of something original.
You've been there before.
I must have.
Wow.
But as I'm reading, I'm going. Oh my God.
Someone's ripped Seinfeld off. Look at this.
What a dickhead. Okay. Art.
Art. Well, Olympics. I don't know. We need to have a think about this, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's. Should we get some thinking music?
Yeah, what are you thinking? Maybe the Cathy Freeman?
Yeah, Cathy Freeman winning.
Winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's Why hear not? That.
What a legend. What a champion.
Wow, go Cathy.
I remember being there, of course.
You were there.
I was there right on the line.
I remember I was at home watching it.
I don't know how many medals we got that year, but
we got a fair few. You tend to get
Sydney,
more
when on, you're home, on the home ground because you get that support. I remember going to the volleyball. Oh, that was the Commonwealth Games because we had the Commonwealth Games in Brisbane. With Kate Langbrook. Anyway.
I did a gig at the Cryo Dance Club, whatever. They've actually got a darts club in Geelong.
A darts club?
And how funny is this? When you go to some of those sporting clubs, even in the world of darts, the guy, the King Dick guy, was sitting down the front, the number one darts player, giving a bit of attitude to the comics with his attractive girlfriend. Yeah, that kind of... Even in the world of darts, they've got guys like that.
I know.
I did lawn bowls the other day at the great Dandenong Bowls Club, and they were great fun. But there was a young guy... Started yelling out as soon as I got on up to host their thing. And again, he was a champion lawn bowls.
Yeah, it's kind of like because he's top dog.
Yeah, they're top
dog. And you're coming in, he's going to have to beat top dog. And I dare say you took care of him quite appropriately.
He was good fun, actually. He was great, lawn bowls guy.
Who's
this guy?
We were getting good laughs up there, weren't we? I was helping you out.
That's exactly right.
Not really. Oh, no, some big laughs. Mainly when I hung shit on you, actually.
Yeah. Funny though, isn't it? In every sport, those guys are there.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it's normally a man.
Yeah, they got issues. Okay, so we need the answer. Okay. Oh no, we haven't had a crack yet. No, we haven't.
We haven't had a crack. Okay, no. I'm just going to have a crack. I think art was once an Olympic sport. I think some kind of art.
Oh, that's good.
Was an Olympic sport, and I reckon it was life drawing. Because it was all in the nude.
I
reckon the Greeks did life drawing as a sport.
So what you're saying is that there was an event.
It was an event.
You turn up and they say, pen's ready.
Pen's ready. Set. Go.
Start drawing.
Drop your robe, fat bloke. I'm finished.
Yeah. That's more of a scribble. That's not really a piece of art. Okay, but that's interesting.
Have you ever done life drawing?
Yes. No, not as in done a nudie.
Yeah.
No, I've done.
We did it on radio once. God. Hughesy put out the call, right, because he.
And he wanted someone to come in and stand in the nude and they would draw them. That's good radio.
Yeah.
But it was a bit confronting.
Oh, a young woman came in, very attractive French girl, quite happy to drop her robes, and we had to draw.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I did. I can't believe I'm telling this story. Uncle Arthur does art class.
Oh, that's right.
So Uncle Arthur goes to the art class, and the course, my art class, I'm drawing away. Anyway, the woman walks in. In rehearsal, she wears a dressing
gown.
A nude
suit, yeah, or something,
but
yeah.
In the take, she just goes, vroom, vroom, and drops. And I got to say, it was hard to hold character.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, oh, there you go. And whoops-a-daisy, whoops-a-daisy, there you go. So I'm going to have a go.
There you go.
I'm going to say that they received some sort of art, because now they get a sprig of something. They get a medal and they get a.
Have you ever done the Olympic torch?
No, I think I've been asked. I think I was.
Doug Hawkins says it talks about it when he went down to Tasmania and got. He said he's the only guy who's been booed when he's got the Olympic torch because he'd been down there and beat, I don't know, some story. I think it's Doug Hawkins. He's a Footscray player. He said he went down there and got booed because it was controversial, him carrying the torch.
I'm going to say that they, well, you get your medal.
Yeah.
And they go, and here's some work by Pablo Picasso.
Oh, wow. If you do Spain.
Yeah, because.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let's hear the.
What's the answer, Sam?
Artistic pursuits were a sport in the modern Olympics from 1912 to 1948. You could win medals for art inspired by sport in five categories: architecture, literature, music, painting, and sculpture. Art competitions were abandoned in 1954 because artists were considered to be professionals, whereas athletes were required to be amateurs.
Wow.
Well done.
Can't believe I was right. Art was an event. That's incredible.
You're just...
That and tug of war. That was an event too.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But it is strange. How do you make it into an event? Because I remember there was that show on the ABC where they would get...
Oh, yeah.
There was a bunch of people, and they were good artists.
Yeah, and they compete.
And they would compete.
Yeah,
and
that's they would a British show too.
Yeah, and it's great. And the work was incredible.
Yeah. And now Undo just competes against himself.
Well, there's no one to compete. You go,
his paintings are good, though.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
But with the when you saw the same person painted...
Did you know he was a refugee? I just thought I'd mention that.
You read his book?
I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. No, he's a nice guy. Come on.
His book was very popular. He's got book of the year.
I've got this friend who just mentions stuff about
all
comedians.
The time.
She goes to me, "Do you know Julie Zemiro's French?" I'm like, you know, they mention things that everyone knows.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know she was French.
Well, you know she's French.
I don't know she's French.
She speaks French in
anyway, I'll pick you up on one that you didn't know the other day.
What's that?
Do you remember what it was? You didn't know that mirrors had a little switch on them for when headlights were...
Yes, I didn't know that.
You know, okay, I'll just explain to the listeners.
Yeah.
I was telling a story about I couldn't believe it. My friend didn't know that your mirror on your car, you push the little lever on the bottom and it stops the reflection in your mirror.
Your rear vision mirror.
It makes it softens a
at
lot.
At night.
At night.
No,
and
I've
you
never heard of it.
Have never, ever.
Never heard.
And I got into your car and went, there it is there, and I went, flick.
It is funny, though, that just bits of knowledge that some people don't know.
Oh, I didn't know Julie Zemiro was... Is
French.
That French?
Yeah, her mum's Zemiro. French.
Zemiro.
But I never... You aren't Doe was a refugee.
I've read his book.
Yeah.
I put two and two together.
Did you know Hughie's from Warrnambool? See, again, that's a fact that most people know.
I knew. I thought... Was he in Western Australia for a while?
Yeah, he started comedy in WA. Very good.
Okay.
Well, don't trying to think of other obvious facts that people should know about comedians, but I can't think of any.
You used to be a school teacher.
No one cares about that. You used to be a school teacher, but we're not that well known for that, really.
Yeah,
because people still ask you, what do you do?
What's obvious that other people don't know? That
do is you know, I was on Spicks and Specs. That's everyone on this podcast knows that. They all know that.
Something that's a good idea for a podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, the
obvious things that aren't as obvious as you think they are, because things that you know.
Well, you know, Bob Hawke broke the
drinking beer.
Yeah, drinking beer. I think everyone.
Yeah, Booney.
Booney and the beer drinking thing? Yeah. It's interesting. Some people are just defined by one fact or one story, aren't they?
And you reckon...
Well, what about the guy who fell over with the gold medals and, you know, Stephen Bradbury? Everyone knows that story.
That's called doing a Bradbury now.
Yeah, do you reckon he turns up, because he just public speaking turns up to an event and goes, "I'm going to talk about my gold medal," and people go...
We know.
"Oh, how did you win your gold medal?" Everyone fell over.
You still want to hear the story, though.
Yeah, it's a good story. You it's still a great want story. To hear the story.
Oh, there you go. So, but, so you would, and then I guess they would, and then you go gold, silver, bronze. You go, hang on a second. My tree with the, yeah. the house with the smoke coming
that's
out
a problem.
Of it.
How do you how do they define?
You didn't
who
draw
wins.
Your birds very well.
Yeah,
and your clouds shit house. That's something I've always wondered. But you go to a gallery, right? And there's original paintings, not by great people.
Mm.
And you go that one there. It's a valley with a house in it, and there's smoke coming out of the house, and there's a few birds and blah blah blah. That one is $600. Then you look at the one next to it.
That's 800.
You're going. What am I getting for the extra $200?
I know where the value. Where's the value?
Where's the value? You go, okay, it's not of a valley, it's of a beach, and there's a boat on the water. How come I want something for my $200?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like, that's like Banksy. Like, how do you
put a price on it?
I know that, you know, Banksy, and you get one of his works now, and Jeff Green, who we were in Byron Bay with, was telling me that he's met Banksy, but he didn't know who he was. He was at a party with another comedian who hangs out with Banksy, and he talked to a lot of people that night, and his friend said to him, you know, you were talking to Banksy before. He goes, which one was he? He goes, I can't tell you who he was because it's all anonymous who he is.
But he's he would have picked it up. When he met him, he would have gone, this is Banksy? Yeah.
Damn.
So what do you do? Oh, I do graffiti kind of artwork. Kind of fun. Anyway, what do you do, Jay? Yeah. I'm a comedian.
Didn't you realise at that point? Oh, I should have. Damn.
He was spray painting a rat on a wall. Burger time.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.